This is Karen Lyle from SalesPort Talk with a report on a San Francisco Bay Area raise, SailGP, and the Pier 39 to Aberdeen journey of the Lady Washington. Recently, the Half Moon Bay Yacht Club held their second annual Take the Tiller Women's Sailing Regatta. Rear Commodore Martha Huddle reported that all races were on Cal 20s in light wind conditions. The mission of Women's Sailing of Half Moon Bay Yacht Club is to empower women and girls through sailing. The group sails on the second and fourth Thursday of each month, April through October, hosts winter sailing seminars for the club, and raises funds for sailing scholarships for girls year-round. You can find out more at www.hmbyc.org. Go to the Women's Sailing section for more about the Women's Sailing program. Now, checking in with SailGP. After Team Australia won the San Francisco SailGP, the teams went to New York to compete for the first time on the East Coast in these high-speed F-50s that approach 50 knots of speed. Japan beat Australia in New York, and now all six teams are on the British home shores about to compete in the Great Britain SailGP. SailGP teams will compete in Cowes on August 10th and 11th. This exciting new race then goes to France for the final race, where the overall winner will be decided based on accumulated points. Download the app or follow the races online at sailgp.com. Remember, this is the Lady Washington's 30th birthday year. SailSport Talk is following the passages of the two tall ships owned by Grays Harbor Historical Seaport from the time they left Pier 39 in April until November when they returned to Aberdeen, Washington. The Lady Washington is returning from Richmond, British Columbia right now and plans to be in Everett, Washington by August 8th. Grays Harbor Historical Seaport is a 501c3 educational nonprofit public development authority based in Aberdeen, Washington. For more than 25 years, they have provided hands-on education opportunities for people of all ages and backgrounds aboard the tall ships Lady Washington and Hawaiian Chieftain. They focus on teamwork, empowerment, and their programs explore people's shared history and daily connections to the world's oceans. You can find out more at www.historicalseaport.org. This is Karen Lyle of SailSport Talk.
Said, I want Tittle.
Interrupting all programs.
This is Radio Cash on Pirate Satellite. Orbiting your living room, cashing in the Bill of Rights. Human army surplus or refusing all the lights. This is Radio Cash.
Rick Tittle can usually be found at He Baby Mama House.
Thank you so much, and welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle and Karen Lyle with you for SailSport Talk, this segment on Tittleheading Sports. Sports byline with you coast to coast and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. Karen, how are you?
I am doing great today.
That is good to hear. Good to see your smiling face. And it's also good to welcome Skipper Brian Cunha with us. He is the overall winner of the Edgartown race, and that's the RTI Race the Island, and won the coveted Venona trophy. And this is a race that goes back over 80 years. Is that right, Brian?
That's right. Yep. It's a fairly coveted award. It's good to win it. We won it once before in 1992. So this is the second time, I guess, 37 years later, we win it a second time.
Is
so
that the record?
It was really a great race.
Is that the record for in between winning 37 years?
I guarantee you it's the record for in between winnings. I think the first time I won, I was like 23 years old. Now 37 years later. I'm sorry, 32 years old. So now 37 years later.
Nice.
There we go.
So it was a light wind race, and I understand that some of the people had to go on a shortened course, 25 miles, and then did you go the long course?
Yes, we did. Well, the course itself around Martha's Vineyard is 55 miles, and our our boat and Boat Jess, which is a TP-52, and a third boat made it all the way around. But we were the only three boats to make it all the way around. And what they did is they had these gates, which are virtual gates, where at some point on the course, they shortened it for the majority of the other boats.
Now, I hear on your Kerr 55, which you call IRE2, they called
right.
it Rastafarian-style graphics. Would you say that or just rainbow?
I guess. You know, I got the name 20-some-odd years ago with the first IRE. I was in Jamaica, and some fella came up to me and said, hey, everything's IRE-mon. I said, what does IRE mean? He says, that means everything's great. I said, what a great name for a boat. So I named the boat IRE, and you're right. And the graphics are sort of like these blues and yellows, and it's kind of a cool thing. I don't know if you've seen a picture of the Spinnaker on the website, but it's really a cool logo.
It's a lovely boat. You know, when you have those light wind days and you have boats on the water, it can get really easy to hear what the other people are saying on the boats nearby. Did you overhear conversations?
Absolutely. Well, the boat that we sailed around with was Boat Jest, which is this TP-52, brand new boat, actually won everything the week before in the New York Yacht Club 175th Regatta. So we were pretty pleased beating them. But right, we were right next to them for a lot of the race. As it turns out, they beat us in real time by, I don't know, 8 or 9 minutes, but in corrected time, we beat them overall. So it was pretty good win to beat those guys, particularly since they're generally much faster than us. So,
you know, I was looking at the Facebook page for your boat, and this is a picture from last year, but it looks like the whole crew, an interesting outfit, kind of a schoolboy look of you have ties on, but then knee-high blue socks and then red shorts. Is that a traditional
outfit?
Well,
that was last year. This year we wore kilts.
Huh? Oh, now that's interesting. It was a good thing to have a light wind day.
The Yucatan Yacht Club are very welcoming, and so every year I have the crew dress up in a different outfit. Last year was red shorts and knee socks and so for, you know, kind of the Bermuda look, and then this year I got kilts for everybody, so we all wear kilts to the yacht club for the crew dinner, so it was kind of fun.
Rick Tittle and Karen Lyle with Brian Cunha, the skipper of the IRE2. I see on that you also your avatar, if you like, you have a Fear of the Goat shirt. Are you an Annapolis guy?
I'm not, but a couple of my guys are. So I wore that one day as kind of kidding these guys and I said, so here you go, guys. See this shirt? That means you guys got to behave and do a good job. So I wear that shirt, yeah. But that's, you're absolutely right. That is an Annapolis shirt.
So Edgartown Yacht Club also has tennis, and that's a rare combination for yachting and tennis. Do you also play tennis?
I don't, but you're right. The Edgartown Yacht Club has many, many things that they sponsor for the yacht club. It's really a great yacht club. It's good for the kids. They have a great sailing program, not only for, you know, adults like myself, but for the kids. They, you know, great youth program that they have for the whole summer. They have tennis for the young kids and for all the young people. So it's a really a good place, but I don't play.
The Kerr 55, and I'm a sailing neophyte, so these are the kind of questions I ask. This is why I'm here.
That's okay.
I noticed that in the back, there are two helms. Now, is that because if you're leaning all the way to the right, you need a helm on that side and then vice versa?
Yeah. Otherwise, the wheel would have to be enormous to take the load. So what they do is they spread the load between the two sides. And what they do, and also they want all of the weight when you're going to windward, you know, upwind when the boat's tipped on the side. You want the weight on to windward to even out the boat because you want to fill the boat as flat as you possibly can. So that's the reason for the two wheels.
Now, in this particular race, do you get to use any of your electronics, or is it all 1700 style?
There's three computers on board. So there's a navigator and there's a tactician. The navigator has a tablet in the back of the boat. And you can literally say how much more time on port, how much more time on starboard before you attack,
and exactly where you are on the race course, and you can also do sightings in other boats, so you have a really good idea exactly whether you're gaining on him or losing on him, and all kinds of information, wind speed, wind direction, boat speed, obviously, currents, drifts, all that stuff is the navigator's doing in the back of the boat. And if you ever saw a picture, you'll see a guy with a tablet in the back of the boat. And the big boats, similar to what I would call my boat a big boat, generally has that level of sophistication. So it's a very analytical and process in racing big boats. So it's really something in terms of the math that's required and the thinking and so forth.
You know, it's funny you talk about having a helm that would be super big. I did see one on a boat that looked like yours, and it was this big red helm. It looked like it was about 6 feet wide and like 6 feet tall, so that's not unheard of, right?
No, it isn't. And the reason they have the two is to get away from that because they're so bloody large. And actually, when they're that big, when you're pulling down, you know, the boom is the thing that the mainsail goes on, mm-hmm. right, up from the mast. If the helm is too big, you cannot pull the boom down far enough to trim the mainsail. In other words, you want to pull it down so that the sail is properly angled to the wind. So if the wheel is too big, you can't pull the boom down because it interferes with pulling the boom down. So that's another reason why there's two wheels.
I know on the some of the larger boats that I've been at the helm for, you have to, when you have that big wheel, you have to spin it and then wait. So how responsive is your boat?
There's always, you always turn it and then you wait a second or two because the boat doesn't, it's not like a car, you know, you turn the wheel and the car automatically turns. There's a little bit of a lull between the time you turn the wheel and the boat actually responds, but I respond pretty fast. The boat's all carbon fiber, from the mast to the hull to the inside of the boat. So everything is so it's pretty what they call stiff boat, which means it responds well and it doesn't bend. In my old boat, we could actually grind up on the back winch, what they call runners, and the bow would actually lift out of the water. We could, you know, you get so much pressure on that. On that headstay. So, but this boat, you can't do that. But.
You know, it's funny, a lot of times there'll be a sports manager, a coach wins a championship, and then he's yep. already back at work thinking about next year. And I went on the Edgartown Yacht Club website, and it says 358 days, 7 hours, 10 minutes until we do this again. It's like
right.
you're already yeah. already planning for too. Next year.
They're already planning. Absolutely. They do that. Yeah, that's exactly what they do. And, you know, and as I said, they're accommodating. When we went to the award ceremony, they said, we're going to be back. We already made a reservation to rent a house for next year again with the realtor. So we're definitely coming back next year.
Well, you
one advantage we had this. Go ahead.
Oh, you raised this. You said 37 years ago you won, and you were how old mm-hmm. at that time?
Oh, my God, 37 minus 6, yeah, 30 years old.
So what yeah. was the race back then like in comparison to this one?
Well, it was the same. Well, it was longer back then because are you familiar with Martha's Vineyard at all? Where are you guys located?
I have San Francisco.
Oh, okay. So have you ever been out to Martha's Vineyard?
I have not had the pleasure myself.
No, I haven't sailed. I haven't sailed that course.
Well, you could go see Bill Clinton and Barack Obama because they and John Belushi used to live there too. Wow. By the way, in the summertime, the course used to be longer because it would go around the island, and then there's a tower called the Buzzards Bay Tower, which is the entrance to Buzzards Bay, you know, which is the one that goes to Martha's Vineyard in Nantucket. And so it used to be like 75 miles, which was very, very, and it made a big difference because if the tide turned, it might end up spending the entire night out there with an anchor drop because the tide is very, very powerful in Vineyard Sound. You have to actually drop an anchor. So people would be getting in at like 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock in the morning after starting the day before at 8. So it was a much longer race. I'm glad they shortened it because we were in by 5:30, which was great. Started at 8:30, we were in by 5:30, so it was 8 hours, so it wasn't too bad.
Last question for you, Brian. What is the biggest moment of peril you have found yourself in the high seas?
Well, we hit a rock like 3 weeks ago. Does that count? I suppose.
Ouch.
Wow.
That's not good, right? That's about, I guess the biggest thing was we got caught in a big, we were traveling from Florida up to Newport, and we got caught in a big squall, you know, 40, 50 mile an hour winds, and, you know, it was blowing pretty darn good, and we were, you know, that's always concerning, you know, when you get a lot of breeze, so that's probably good.
You bring in the sails and ride it out?
You put one tiny sail up on the bow, and one tiny head sail, and that's it. You pull the main down, pull everything else down, and that's it. And you just try to go to windward, and we also have a thing that you throw off the back of it. It's like a cup, and you drag the thing, and it slows the boat down, so you're not going too fast because you don't want to be going too fast with that kind of breeze. So.
All right, there he is. They thought his career was over, and 37 years later, he brings it home again. The winner of the Edgartown race. Yes.
And we got one more coming up a week from Friday called the Ida Lewis Long Distance Race. Now, that's 150 miles, so we're doing that a week from this coming Friday. And we've won it 4 years in a row, so we're coming back for our fifth year. So
best of luck on that.
The pressure's on the IRE 2. Skipper Brian Cunha is with us. Brian, man, great stuff. Thank you so much for your time.
Nice talking to you. Okay.
All right, good day. Good stuff. Bye-bye. And Karen, we'll see you next week.
Yeah, next week at 9:37. We love that talk.
There it is. I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back. We'll talk some other stuff on the other side.